When God created man, God created Adam with a view that he would rule over the earth and subdue things and be the ruler. That was the intention, original intention with which God created man. It says in Genesis chapter 1 verse 28. Genesis 1:28. God blessed them and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." See, this was the original intention of Almighty God when He created Adam, that man should rule over the birds of the air and the animals and the fish, and that he should subdue them and rule over them. That was God's intention. And this is as far as nature is concerned, externally, that even later on as we proceed, we will see how God led Israel to conquer nation after nation and subdue them and rule over them and conquer them. But we read in chapter 4, verse 7 of the same book, Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, when Cain sinned, God tells him what was the original plan for him. He says, when he sinned, God tells Cain, "If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? If you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it." Or in other words, you must subdue it. The same word. Here in the first chapter, he says, you should master over all nature and living creatures. And in the fourth chapter, he says to Cain, when he sinned, you must master or rule over this sin that is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you. See, always sin's desire is to conquer you. But that was not God's will. God's will was that Cain should conquer, subdue, and rule over all types of sin. Here is the sin of anger. He says, he asks in the previous verse, he says, "Why has your countenance fallen? Have you seen any angry man relaxed and smiling?" You don't see any angry man relaxed and smiling. His face is, you know, with a scowl, and anger can be seen on his face. But that was not God's intention. And what God said to Adam in chapter 1, he said something similar to another person later on in the Bible. He told him that he was given authority over the birds of the air and over the animals on land and over human beings. And even we pray, "Thine be the kingdom, the glory and the power." The same things were attributed to him also. That man. Can anybody, young people under 35, tell me who it was? To whom it was spoken? Turn with me to Daniel. Daniel chapter 2, verse 37. Here is King Nebuchadnezzar. He had a dream, a peculiar dream, And probably he forgot about the dream. And he wanted his wise men to tell him the dream and also the interpretation thereof. But nobody was able to do it, and only Daniel could do it. And when Daniel, with the power of God, when God revealed that dream and its interpretation, he comes to the king and he says, verse 37, "You, O king, are the King of kings, to whom the God of heaven has given," listen carefully, "the kingdom, the power, the strength, and the glory." The same thing what we ascribe to the Lord when we pray, "Thine be the kingdom, the glory, and the power." The same things are here. "And wherever the sons of men dwell, or the beasts of the field, and the birds of the sky," something same, similar, what the Lord told Adam, "over men, over beasts, over birds, he has given them into your hand, and he has caused you to rule over them. You are the head of gold." You see, that was the original intention of God. And God also wanted his people always to be the head and not the tail. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 11, Deuteronomy 11, 24 and 25. This was the promise that God gave to Joshua after Moses died. Word to word, almost word to word, he gave that to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verses 3 and 5. The same things are written here in Deuteronomy 11, 24 and 25. "Every place on which the sole of your foot shall tread shall be yours." Verse 25, "There shall no man be able to stand before you." No man will be able to stand before you. "And every place on which the sole of your foot treads, that I have given to you." That was God's promise, and that was God's will, and that is God's will for each one of us, even today. In the old covenant, it was the earthly kingdom. They were supposed to fight earthly kings, but in the new covenant, it is the desires and the lusts and the sins that are there in our flesh that we are called to conquer and rule over. It says here in Joshua chapter 3, Joshua chapter 3, verse 10. And Joshua says, "By this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will assuredly dispossess from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Ammonites, the Jebusites, and all the Ites." You can name all your Ites: Angerites, Jealousites, Bad Thoughts Ites, or Hatredites, Haughty Eyes, whatever, Prideites, all your Ites. God wants to bring them under your feet. That was originally God's plan. You see, in the same chapter, chapter 10, verse 24, it says, "After some of the kings were conquered, Joshua calls the chiefs of men of war who had gone with him." In verse 24, last part, it says, he calls them, "Come, put your feet on the necks of these kings." So they came and put their feet on the necks of those kings. And Joshua said to them, "Do not be afraid, do not fear or be dismayed. Be strong and courageous, for thus the Lord will do to all your enemies with whom you fight." You see, when God is with you, Nobody can be against you. If God supports you, none can defeat you. And this is what will happen. This happened in Joshua's time. The Israelis who obeyed the Lord were able to put their feet on the king's necks. The same thing you and I can do. There's a verse in Romans 16:20. It says, "The God of peace shall soon crush Satan under your feet." So we can lay hold of that promise and believe that one day or the other, all these heights, whatever heights we have in our life that we are battling with, they will all come under our feet. Not because we are strong in ourselves, but because God is with us. If God is with us, who can be against us? Not one can stand before you. And we read further in the book of Judges, chapter 1. See, that was originally God's will for man, that he should conquer everybody, every king in those days who were enemies of Israel. And God's intention was that they should all be subdued. But you know what happened? These people, when they were in chapter 1 of Judges, verse 21, it says, "But the sons of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites who lived in Jerusalem." So the Jebusites have lived with the sons of Benjamin. And verse 27 onwards, you see, but Manasseh did not take possession of Beth Shean and its villages. And the last part of it says, Canaanites persisted in living in that land. And they did not drive them out completely, the last part of verse 28. And verse 29, neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites who were living. And Zebulun did not drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, and they lived among them. And verse 31, they did not drive out the inhabitants of Accho. And so the Asherites lived among the Canaanites, and they did not drive them out. 32, last part. 33, they did not drive out the inhabitants, and they lived among them. Like this, you keep on reading, because they didn't drive them out completely. They remained with them, and they lived with them. It is like what they call in the world peaceful coexistence. They sort of came to a place where they thought, oh, it's okay. We can live with these guys. These guys seem to be nice fellows. But that was not God's will. God's will was that they should rule over them. And none of these people should live among them. Because God had told them, if you don't do that, they will become a snare to you. And we read in chapter 2, verse 3, in the same book, chapter 2, verse 3, it says, "Therefore, I also said, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall become as thorns in your sides." You see, if you don't drive them out, one day or the other, they will become thorns in your sides. How many of us like to live with a thorn in our flesh? Paul had a thorn in the flesh. He prayed about it 3 times. And you know, some of us men especially, when we go for our haircut, we come back sometimes, we see a small bit of hair stuck in our banyan or something that causes irritation. Until you remove it, you know, a little bit of a small piece of hair that's cut from your head is stuck in your banyan or shirt that keeps rubbing against your flesh. What a discomfort it is. And these people lived with that discomfort, which was not God's will. God wanted them to live in peace all the time. And we read in Song of Solomon, They thought it was something negligible, but these negligible little things can cause havoc. It says in Song of Solomon chapter 2 verse 15, it says, catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that are ruining the vineyards while our vineyards are in blossom. It is talking about these little foxes. These little foxes are these little sins that we ignore in our lives. They thought that they may have seen one or two foxes. They said, okay, after all, how much grape they will eat, if at all foxes eat grapes. Like we read in that Aesop's fable, that fox and the grapes story. Finally, it had to, you know, tell itself that maybe the grapes are sour and it went off. I don't know whether they eat grapes, but if at all they were there in this vineyard, they saw probably one or two and then they ignored it. But it says that they came and ruined the vineyards, means it must have been a pack of them. Must have come and ruined the vineyards. So if I don't take heed to what is spoken by God to me concerning my life, when God says, sin shall not have dominion over you. And I say, okay, that little thing is okay. That little dirty thought is okay. I entertain this, I entertain that. And these little foxes, you know, they gang up. And, you know, they can even chase a strong lion out. You may have seen that in Animal Planets and Nat Geo and Discovery Channel. These, when they come in packs, you know, they can even drive out huge animals like, lions and even elephants can be driven away if these small, you know, wild dogs or hyenas come in packs. They can drive these strong animals. So when these little sins get accumulated in us, they become huge, and then a day comes when we will not be able to stand before them. God told Joshua, no man will be able to stand before you. In other words, no enemy man will ever be able to stand before you as long as you live. Just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. So, as long as Joshua obeyed it, he lived a victorious life. But after Joshua died, it speaks about the Israelites that there came a generation which did not know the Lord. And they just, each one of them lived as they liked. And then, you know, God had to send one judge after another. As long as the judge was alive, they were okay. When the judge passed away, then again, they got into sin, and then God had to again deliver such people into their hands. And there is a verse in Leviticus 26. This is God's will for all of us. Leviticus 26. Leviticus 26 verse 13. This is God's will for us. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, so that you should not be their slaves. And I broke the bars of your yoke and made you walk erect. God's will is not that we should go about life with our heads hanging down, with guilt and shame and sorrow and sadness. But God's will is that we reign in life, that we conquer all sin in our life. Not just the external ones, the ones that are not so obvious, that are you and I are aware of them. The ones that are inside, the ones that are not yet manifest externally. And God wants us to walk with our head lifted up. We sing in that song, my glory and the lifter of my head. That's from Psalm 3, verse 3. He is our glory and the lifter of our head. When God lifts your head, and when God is backing you, nobody can put your head down. You can walk with dignity. You can walk straight and strong and erect. Not with pride, with humility, because it's not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of God. Because God is backing you. And one of the first messages that Jesus ever spoke after he started his ministry is recorded in Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. One of the things he says here that to set the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel. He has sent me to preach, to proclaim release to the captives. And all those who are bound by sin and sickness and the ravages of it, the Lord says, I have come to proclaim, preach the gospel to the poor and to proclaim release to the captives who are held captive by their sins, and to recover and recovery of sight to the blind, and set free those who are downtrodden. You see, this is the intention with which Jesus came, to set people free, to break the yoke of bondage, and to give you liberty, to empower you from inside. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power to be my witnesses. When you receive power, then you will be able to overcome these things, and also you will be able to rule in life. We read one verse in Romans 5, verse 17. Now we come to the New Testament, and now our enemies are not these earthly enemies, because the Bible is very clear in Ephesians 6 that we fight not against flesh and blood. In other words, we do not fight with human beings. Our enemies now are the lusts in our flesh, which are ruling over us. It says here, by the transgression of one, death reigned through one. I'm reading from Romans 5:17. Death reigned through one, but much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. We are called to reign in life through Jesus Christ. Because of what? Because of the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. When grace rules over you, grace is nothing but God's help and the enabling and the power of God. And when these are for you, God's grace and God's righteousness are imputed to you, then it says you will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. This is our calling. In the next chapter, 6:14, it says the same verse that I already quoted. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Because we are no longer under law, we have come into a new dispensation. We are now in the new covenant, which is established by Christ, by his death and resurrection, by his blood. And now we are under his dominion, and now we can do what we could not do. James says, submit therefore to God, and then it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. You can't resist the devil just like that. There is a condition. Even if you want to resist, he will not flee from you. Because there is a condition to be fulfilled. Before that it says, first submit yourself under the mighty hand of God. And then resist the devil and he will flee from you. If you have given charge of your life to the Lord to reign over you, to rule over you, then you will be able to reign and rule over the sins that are there in your flesh, in your life. And it says further in chapter 8 of the same book, verse 37, we are called to be not just conquerors, we are called to be more than conquerors. You know what is being more than conquerors? More than conquerors is being one step ahead of a conqueror. That you can be, you can rule like a king over your enemies. Conquering the soldiers and the army does it. But more than conqueror is above all of them who is the king. And you can be a king. And more than conquerors in all these things, what are those things? The things that are written above 35, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? None of these things can distract and defeat you. You can overcome them and you can be more than conquerors in these situations. And also all the ites that we saw, or maybe you can see in Galatians chapter 5. These are the works of the flesh. Chapter 5, verses 19 onwards. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident. See, this is what I was trying to come to. This is what you and I are called to reign over and rule over and subdue them. It says, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, and factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarned you, as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you will be able to do that. Like it says in the next verse, 22 onwards. And when the Holy Spirit takes control of you and you yield yourself to His Lordship, then by the Holy Spirit, you will be able to, you know, bring forth these fruit, ninefold fruit of the Holy Spirit, like it's given in verses 24 onwards. Jesus said, in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, he said to all the seven churches, there were two good churches, Smyrna and Philadelphia. Even to them, along with the other five, he said, he who overcomes, I will give him this. He will inherit this. And all those promises, you go home and read that. And when Jesus began speaking in Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6 and 7, one of the first things that he said in Matthew 5, 3, he said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Who are the poor in spirit? Poor in spirit are those who know their helplessness. They know that they are spiritually bankrupt. That they cannot do anything apart from God's help. Such ones are the poor in spirit. And what is the promise given to them? Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus came to establish the kingdom of heaven. But in the old covenant, it was only a picture of what was going to come in the new covenant. There it was earthly kingdom. God wanted Adam to subdue the earthly this thing. And Nebuchadnezzar and the Israelis, they were all called to subdue the earthly kingdoms. But in the new covenant, Jesus begins with heavenly kingdom. He says, when you are poor in spirit, and then God's grace will come over you. And then you will be able to, you know, have the kingdom of God ruling in your life. That's God's will for you and me.
We read in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11 verse 12, it says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent men take it by force. Here we read about the kingdom of heaven and the violent man taking it by force. It's not referring to the people who are able and able bodies who can fight. And you know, we heard in Ephesians chapter 12, for our struggle is not against the flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this world's darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. I believe the verse referring to the warfare, the war cry within us as a God's children to inherit the kingdom that God has promised for us. I was thinking about this verse in Genesis chapter 1. We read that verse where when God blessed Adam and Eve, and God blessed them and he said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. I was looking at this verse, word subdue. Subdue to conquer. Subdue, overcome and acquire and enslave. That is the meaning. Once, and then dominate over the fish and the sea and the birds of the heaven and over every living creatures that is moving on this earth. The original God's will was to subdue, to conquer, to enslave, to possess, and then rule. And that is a God's will for us. When they failed, when they sent out of Garden of Eden, and God was the first exaltation, the first call for a mankind was, you know, we read it in Genesis. For Cain, we heard about it, Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. Sin is crouching at the door, and the sin wants to take over, the sin wants to enslave you, but you must master it. And that is the call, that is the God's will for every one of us, that we enslave and not the sin enslave us. And sin is crouching at the door. When we go out, young people, the sin is there, waiting to, its desire is to capture us. But God's will is that we must master it. I believe that that is a God's will. I was thinking about 1 John chapter 2. And Apostle John was writing to 1 John chapter 2 verse 14, it says, the middle of the verse, I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one. This is something that I was thinking about. You are strong. Young people, how we can be strong? Because the word of God abides in you. Many a times, why we are ignorant, why we are enslaved by the devil, he is our enemy, and enslaves by devil because we are ignorant of God's word. And Apostle John writing to the early church, I have written to you young men because you are strong and the word of God abides in you. This is the strong, the word of God that gives us a strength to overcome, to empower, to subdue, to enslave. And David says in Psalm 119, "Thy word I have treasured in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Young people, how are we? What is the strength for us to overcome? What is the strength that we can subdue and enslave? You know, God's word should abide in our heart. That is some that is came to my heart, that when I want to overcome, when I want to overcome the evil one, that I need to keep the God's word in my heart. That is a call. And I want to take the God's word seriously. Let the God's word dwell in my heart, so that I might not sin against. So that I can overcome the evil one. You know, I was thinking about, go on to think, second thing that I was thinking. In Judges, we read about Judges chapter 6. The God's people, how when they were brought from the Egypt, they were in slavery, they were enslaved by the heathen people, and God brought them, God did a miracle and brought them back, but they were gone back again. Here we read in Judges chapter 6, you know, the power of Midian prevailed against Israel. You know, the Midianites took over the people, God's people, and they enslaved them. And we read here about, you know, verse 4, it says, they would camp against them and destroy the produce of the earth. And, I mean, all the livestock, sheep, ox, donkey, everything. And verse 6, it says, so Israel was brought very low because of Midian. They were brought very low, the low level of life, because of sin that is pulling us down. You know, we read in Romans chapter 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but are under grace. But here, God has brought them back, but they were again enslaved by the Midianites. And they were brought low, they were so down, they were pulling, somehow they want to, they were living a life of slavery, but God wants to bring them back. When they cried out, God heard their cry. And we read in verse 11, the angel of the Lord came, and is, you know, that time Gideon was beating out wheat in the wine press in order to save from the Midianites. You know, these people come and destroy the produce, destroy everything. And Gideon was a man whom God raised, and he was just protecting it. And he was trying to help. I mean, they were so scared, they tried to help. And verse 12, it says, an angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, a violent warrior. This is something that spoke to my heart. The Lord is with you, a violent warrior. What a salutation that was. And he was scared, and he was sitting there trying to protect. But the angel of the Lord says, the Lord is with you, O violent warrior. And the Gideon said to him, O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this is happening to us? And where are all his miracles which our father told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us out from Egypt? But the Lord has obtained us and given us into the hands of Midianites. But, you know, we see here, we don't have time to look at everything. He still not believed, and he was saying that what kind of salutation? I'm not a violent, and the Lord is trying to tell that I am with you, and I will give you victory. Verse 16 it says, but the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you. My brothers and sisters, many a times we forget that the Lord is with us, the Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we see in 1 John chapter 4 verse 4, greater is he who is in you, who's in the world. It's not by might, it's not by power, it's not our strength, it is the Lord who's with us. And still Gideon is not convinced. He's still thinking that he's asking for so many signs and so many things. But the Lord has to show him, you know, verse 10 it says, but if you are afraid to go down and go and listen to the camp, what the Midianites were telling. They were describing, you know, from verse 9 to 15, we read where they were describing about how the Israelites going to conquer them and how the Lord is going to give them into their hands. And when Gideon heard, he got strength. Many a times that we are so afraid of the devil, and we don't know his future. His future is lake of fire. He has been defeated. Jesus said when the 70 people returned in Luke chapter 10 verse 18, the 72 returned with joy, said, "Lord, even the demons will submit to us in your name." He said to them, "I saw Satan fall like a lightning from heaven." It's from Luke chapter 10 verse 18. "I saw Satan fall like a lightning from heaven." My brothers and sisters, the greater is he who's in you in this world than who's in the world. And I believe Christ in us, that is the hope of glory. And we can conquer. We see that how they conquered and how they used the weapons. You know, the weapons that they used is the pitcher and torch, trumpet. These are the things. But God is calling us. God has given us the weapons of warfare, God's word, that we can treasure in our heart so that we can conquer the devil and we can face him boldly. And second thing, God is with us. He himself is with us. Moses said, if your presence does not go with us, do not lead us from here. God is with us. And the third thing that I was thinking about, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 verse 11. "But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you." So my brothers and sisters, the spirit of God who comes to dwell in us, and I believe that God has not given us a spirit of slavery leading to fear again. Like Gideon, so many times angel of the Lord has to remind him. So many signs he has to give him. But God has given them already, Midianites, in his hand to conquer, to defeat them. And I believe that God's will for us is that we defeat every sin. Every sin, you must conquer. The sin is crouching at the door and its desire is for you. But you must master it. That is a call for us young people, that we take it seriously. We don't live a mediocre life. We don't live somehow. You know, one thing I was thinking about Gideon. He was just trying to God that wheat, you know. Not just that God's will. Not just protect the wheat and just a portion of it. God wants to give complete Midianites in his hand. And we can become like that when we are bold. When we have a God's word in us, when Christ, God is in us, the Christ, the hope of glory is in us, we can do that. I believe God wants to do that in us. And may we take to heart and may we really believe that the Lord is going to, you know, we read about Jesus in Acts chapter 10 verse 38. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. God is with us, and the Holy Spirit, the Lord has sent a down payment, a pledge to live in us so that we can conquer the devil. That is a God's will for us, brothers and sisters. Young people, take it to heart. And I believe that we can really go before God. Lord, help me. Take it as a challenge. Lord, help me to let the word of God dwell in my heart. Lord, I don't want anything else. You be with me. And third thing, when the Holy Spirit dwell in my heart, when the Holy Spirit come into my heart, the supernatural power which God gives us, we can resist the devil. Then we can hear like Gideon heard in the camp of enemy, where they are trembling. They are saying that God is, they are saying that Midian Israelites going to take us over and they are going to defeat us. I believe God wants to do that for us. And listen to that voice where the Lord is telling you, the greater is he in you who's in this world. May God help us.
I was thinking about this verse in John 18:36, where Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would be fighting." we heard the battles, how the people of Israel, God led him, God helped him in the battle, and we heard we are not called to, you know, battle or fight against flesh or human beings, but we are called for some different battle, to win in that battle. And I was thinking, what is that I need to overcome? I just need to overcome what Jesus Christ in his earthly life, he overcame. So I was reminded of the temptations which he faced. And we can read about that in Luke chapter 4. So we know this temptation as the temptation of the devil. But if you go through that chapter, we can see there are three things that our Lord overcame. And that is the flesh and the world and the devil. And each temptation we face in our daily life, if we can see through, we can see it is coming through this, the flesh, the devil and the world. And the first temptation in Luke chapter 2 verse 4. Sorry, 2 to 4. Luke chapter 4 verse 2 to 4. It says, he was hungry, and the devil said to him, if you are son of God, tell the stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone. You know what? We know that the Lord commanded, the man shall eat by the sweat of his brow. We should work hard and live, find bread. But the devil said, you do some miracle, but Jesus did not accept that. See, the temptation that we face in our flesh, dear young people, God, we are spirit, soul and body, and we have our spiritual needs, our emotional needs, and our bodily needs. And God provided a way for us. And we see around all these things, how devil cheat people, even in spiritual needs, emotional things. And the other day, one of my relative, he's in his teens, and he was listening, he had kept a headphone and he was listening to some music, and I felt he's in some different world. So I went to him, I asked him, what are you listening to? He said, I'm listening to some emotional music. I haven't heard about those kind of music, but there is, you know, to meet our needs, to satisfy the lust in our flesh, devil has a lot of alternatives. And even in our corporate companies, we see the spiritual, so-called spiritual gurus comes and teaches certain things. But, you know, Galatians 5:24, this is where what Paul's decision. He said, those who belong to Christ, the true Christians, they have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And the second temptation Jesus faced is from the world. And Luke chapter 4 verse 5, it says, he led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of a time. And the devil said to him, I will give you all this domain of and its glory, and but if you just fall down and worship me. When brother was sharing about the little foxes, I was reminded of something we heard in the youth camp a couple of years back. So we heard the things that we tolerate in our life, it will soon start dominating in our life. The little things that we tolerate, see how subtle the way the temptation of this world is coming into our lives, dear young people. And you know, we sang this today morning, thou alone be my glory, nothing in this world I see. And Paul says, I've been crucified, the world has been crucified to me. So may God help us to be in that place all the time. And James 4 verse 4, it says, the friendship of this world is enmity with God. And Jesus, this is how Jesus ended his life. He said, take courage, I have overcome. I have overcome this world. And he is my leader, he is my captain. And the third temptation we read, the temptation by devil himself. He said in Luke chapter 4 verse 9, he led Jesus to in the pinnacle of a temple, and he said, if you're son of God, you yourself throw yourself down from there and the angels will protect you. So we see this temptation to exalt and lift up self. This is the temptation from the devil itself. That's how he became devil. And I was thinking, Jesus had discernment very early in his, I believe from younger days he had discernment. But you know, how much we are tempted in spiritual things, brothers, young people, to cross our boundaries and to do supernatural things. But Jesus would not. You know, even towards the end of his life, when he was on the cross, they were tempting him, if you're Son of God, you come down. Then Jesus did not yield to that. I was thinking when I was reading all these things, the temptations are so subtle. Unless God gives us grace, we don't even recognize we are being tempted. How much more we should depend upon him, brothers. And we see all the three temptations. Jesus had only the resources which is available for us today. He had the Holy Spirit and he had the Word of God, like we heard just now. I would say he had less resources because he had no forerunner before him who could say, follow me. But we have Jesus, we have the examples in the Bible, and we have brothers who can say, follow me. So this is how Jesus overcame, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God. And I was challenged by what I heard just now. The kingdom of God, the men of violence take it by force. I was reading a small writing by Tozer where he mentioned the true Christian, the man who is meek and gentle outside. And he may be like a lion, and he may be like Samson in his moral life. That's what the life we want to live, brothers. To be like Samson, to be like a lion in our inner lives. And just want to end with this verse, 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as it is common to man. And God is faithful, and he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. This is the guarantee which God gives each one of us. And he knows we are dust, and he knows our frame. He said, I will not allow you to be tested beyond what you can do. When I see how Jesus overcame, I don't see it as something externally mighty thing. But he was an ordinary man, and he overcame sin in his private inner life. And I have the same resources today, and I can trust that the Lord is able to keep me from falling.